Well, hello everyone. This is We Watch Stuff 196, I believe. I am Jeremy. Joining me as always is Shahid. What is going on, man?
Nothing much. Hope everyone's enjoying themselves on this cold day, depending on where you live. Like currently, you know, it was when I was working out this morning, it was 28 degrees. So we got
31.
Yeah, we got ice on the grass, but it'll be in the 70s this weekend. So,
man, it was 81 with 90% humidity yesterday. Woke up and it was 38 degrees. I was like, that's not supposed to happen, but whatever.
Yeah.
So it's been a week since, been a, almost 2 weeks since we've been off, because we were almost off permanently, which is a story that I told off air. And probably, yeah, you probably should have saved it, but I'm alive. Let's just put it that way. Make sure you buy a ladder with rubber feet, not plastic, and don't put it on a surface that's slick, because you can get into a world of hurt. All right, so there's that. Man, of course we missed the week that the latest Star Wars Rise of Skywalker trailer comes out. And all of the CW shows are humming along. Game of Thrones drama, both on, all off screen, I guess, because it's not on anymore. More Star Wars drama, and then we'll just lead off with this because it's the newest one. WWE had Crown Jewel yesterday. Okay, and The Fiend finally, which is only his second match for it, defeats Seth Rollins in front of a capacity crowd under the red tinged lights after falling off of a stage through a box of fireworks. And that's not even the I don't even know if that's the silliest part of the show, but you know,
I'm just laughing at the fact. I'm wondering if, you know, if you're part of the Saudi family, which tends to be conservative, to put it mildly, what in the world was going through their mind watching that?
Okay, I was talking to Elise about this, and that when, like, they go to Saudi Arabia, they're always, obviously, they're, like, WWE turns into a publicity machine for the government there.
Uh-huh.
But you see, like, all right, now the people with the red, I don't know what they're called, so I'm just going to call them, like, headscarves. I'm not trying to be rude.
Mm-hmm.
That's royalty, correct?
I would guess so, if they were in good seats.
Okay.
Because basically, like, you know, the government's basically family.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
they don't give a flying fuck about what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Then you've got the people behind them that are legit. Some of those people were going crazy. Like, that was a loud crowd.
Yes.
Considerably louder than the other shows they've had there. And I'm just wondering, WWE, like, I don't know. I always wondered if our entertainment translated over to there. So, like, when The Fiend's doing his stuff and all that, I'm going, do they even get it?
I mean, like, Marvel translates more or less.
Yeah.
And they track, like, it's a reason they go on tour, like, overseas. They wouldn't do that just to do it.
Well, that's where the house show business is, because it sure shouldn't be here.
Yeah, so it's just kind of funny where I feel like the general stuff does. I would just wonder, like, I mean, I guess if you're a kid, you don't care. If you're an adult, you're like, what is this? But yes. I think that's like, you know, if you're an adult and you don't watch you haven't watched WWE in a while and you watch that, you're probably thinking the same thing anyway. Like, you know, what is this nonsense? I didn't watch the show because whatever, and I was at work, but I was catching bits and pieces on Twitter. I was, when they said the stipulation, there must be a winner, I was thinking, okay, he'll should win. Yeah. I was still surprised that he actually won, because it's like, Raw doesn't have a champion.
That's a classic booking, like, writing yourself into a corner, or I guess in their case, booking yourself into a corner. As soon as they said that, I'm like, how does this happen? Because, I mean, they could have run the risk of just saying, all right, the hell with it, have him drop a bunch of boxes on him, because they kind of set you up for that Monday. When he pinned Eric Rowan in a flashback to Mankind pinning The Rock.
I heard about that too. I didn't watch Raw either, so, but I heard about that, and I heard people groaning about that finish. So
I don't blame them, but at the same time, I'm like, that was something that was acceptable at one time.
Yeah, I mean, yes. Yeah, but it's kind of like, it was hokey, but it fit their storyline back then. And then it was a different time. Like I said, it was 20 years ago almost?
Yes. Which is ridiculous to think about.
So, you know, I don't know. It's hard to talk about a match I didn't see. You could just talk about the whole reaction. Like, he deserved to have a title on him because he's a star. They made him a star. You keep having him lose, he's not going to be a star anymore.
Yeah. Oh, exactly.
And Seth Rollins need the belt. I feel the same way with the Brock Kane Velasquez match. It's kind of like, with this one, I'm surprised because Raw doesn't have a champion. They've been talking about we're going to keep the brand split, you know, kind of firm this time. Like, we want the stars, want who we want. So, I seriously doubt what they're going to do, put Brock on Raw. And then it's kind of like, you do that, then what was the point of him beating Kofi?
Well, that's whatever.
Yeah, that's a whole, I know the reason why, but I'm like, that just seemed even more convoluted. I'm like, and would Fox even be like, cool with that? I'm like, yeah, it's not because a lot of stuff going on that they kind of like booked themselves in a corner, and I guess we'll figure out how they're going to handle it like this today and Monday.
Are they?
Well, basically, probably Monday. Like, today might be, you know, Evolution Light. Because most people that's loving the state are women. And the only match they have scheduled so far is a six-woman tag match.
Yeah, and then we can get Kevin. No, he's on Raw. Sami Zayn, he's on SmackDown. Daniel Bryan's on SmackDown. So I guess we could get a...
They better call Full Sail, see somebody can jump on a plane real fast.
Well, Aleister Black wasn't there. He's on Raw as well. I'm sorry. What we're getting at is a lot of the wrestlers are stuck in Saudi Arabia right now. As of our recording, it's a 14-hour flight. This is a private jet. And SmackDown started in 17 hours. So, yeah. That's
I'm feeling SmackDown's going to look real funny tonight.
Well, it can't get any more boring. So that's okay.
Yeah. I think that it's one of those, some of the best shows is when they have to like do it on the fly.
Those are the shows they allow. I think it seems like the matches are a little bit longer and the talent does what they want. There's no overlord, you know.
Yeah, Vince going to be on FaceTime?
Yeah. Well, hey, knowing him, who knows?
I mean, he may be, but it's kind of like you got to do what you got to do at this point. It's just funny having him be champion because it's like, I mean, it's precedence because like Undertaker was champion kind of relatively soon when he first started. But when this gimmick started, I don't think people were thinking like, oh yeah, one day we're going to be begging him to be the world champion.
Yeah. Oh, this is a gimmick that was never supposed to be as big as it is. I honestly saw this as kind of like an Undertaker thing where he just did his thing on the side. And they just, I don't know, maybe it's kind of the out-of-touchness of it, but they caught on to something, and they had no idea what to do with it.
Because it's so different and organic.
Yeah.
That's why. And it's something, like, people always say, like, you know, the different things that feel natural, like, work. Like, quick aside, did you watch NXT this week?
Yes. Yeah.
Did you see that entrance in the beginning?
Yes.
How's a company that does that on Wednesdays does the stuff they do on Mondays and Fridays?
You know the answer.
I mean, I know the answer. People are like, oh, you know why? I'm like, yes, it's a rhetorical question because I put it on Twitter. But I'm just watching that, and I'm like, because one, when they talk about this, whoever this popular, I'm like, is this some computer? Like, is this a real person? And I saw on Twitter talking about, you know, she's going to be an NXT. I'm like, who?
Yes.
And then she out there with the band with the mask on, and Al Shirai is like the baddest woman on the planet with just a 2-minute entrance. And I'm like, this just seems like so cool. Like NXT, just the first time, I'm like, this is just cool. Like I know she's supposed to be a heel. You ain't booing that.
And I think that's one of the problems. Yeah, you're supposed to boo her, which some of the crowd, like, she did that whole thing about I don't need anybody, whatever else, right? But after that, the crowd's been still behind her.
She's badass.
Exactly.
And I'm just looking at like that war games, like they doing a woman's war games. I'm kind of like, half the heels are like, who are you booing in that group besides Shayna Baszler? Because everybody else are like either baby faces or heels that get cheered anyway.
Yeah. okay, I was listening. It's kind of on that. We'll get back to that. I was listening to like Observer Radio or something, and they were complaining about Io. No, this was on their Twitter. They're complaining about Io Shirai being a face now. Like, people are cheering her out of the blue, and then they're saying, well, the same thing happened to Finn this week. People were still cheering for him when he came out. And I just stopped and went, do you watch AEW? Everybody gets cheered there.
Yeah.
Like Io Shirai didn't do anything differently. She was acting like a heel. She just had a badass entrance.
I mean, it's like, and it's hard in NXT because Shayna Baszler is really the only heel that consistently gets booed. Mm-hmm. Like, that's like a top
travesty.
Heel.
Travesty. Yeah.
That square face bully. But, yep.
God bless her.
Everybody else, even no matter how much they try to heal it up, just gets cheered.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of like, these heels, like, they're badass, they're cool, or something. Like, you know, you got Io Shirai there, you got the Kabuki. Well, like, you ain't booing Kairi Sane and Asuka.
Okay. Thank you for mentioning
and
that because
they tried.
They are
me.
So much cooler now.
Yes.
Like, all right, Kairi was adorable. Asuka always had that badass, like, sexiness to her. They are just cool as hell looking now. That makeup on Asuka, oh, it does weird things to me. Mm-hmm. It is, and then she's just a badass.
And I love the little details. Because when that match went a long time.
Yeah. Surprising.
And then I love the detail when they did the mist. She pinned in a way where she's covering her face, like the person's face, so you don't see she got mist in the face.
Yeah.
I'm like, because I'm like, yeah. Nobody noticed this. And then even then it happens, and then the ref is looking, it's like something look odd, but the match over. And it's just hilarious because Triple H do the picture. You know, he always does the picture, like, then, now, forever. He takes the picture with the two of them, and she still got green shit all on her neck. And it's just kind of like, it's just funny where they try to be heels, they try to do heelish stuff, and it don't matter.
I think it's because, like, the good guys, outside of Johnny Gargano, the good guys are such doofuses. Like, I don't...
I mean, yeah, because it's like, is Ciampa's will be a good guy now?
Yeah, I guess because he had a bad neck, and then what ruined him, though, were those YouTube videos. I mean, there's... How do you...
Yeah, so it's him, and I mean, like, Matthew Riddle is like, people love Matt Riddle, but he ain't, he just him. He's like Rob Van Dam with abs.
He's also, like, I really like Matt Riddle, so this is a compliment. I was laughing my ass off in the beginning of that match, though. He is such a fucking clown. Doing the spear, and then doing the jackhammer, I mean... What a troll. Like,
don't call me bro.
I'm not
your bro. It's funny because I read that whole interaction with him and Goldberg, but I didn't see it. But then I saw it during this Goldberg Dale 24/7, and it was way funnier than it was ever could be in print.
And it was
because Matt Riddle was just like, you know, what's wrong, dude? I'm fine. And Goldberg just looks so put upon and pissed, like, I just want to punch this punk, but I might get my ass beat and cameras are rolling. So that he just had Goldberg is just a perfect crotchety old man.
And you think Goldberg would learn after getting taken down by Jericho? Like, Jericho's not even a real fighter, and Riddle is. So.
I mean, yeah, but still, kind of like, you know, you little punk.
Oh yeah,
like, well, you still got sure. that. You still got that anger going on.
We could have rose at one time, not now. All right,
yes.
Bro.
Oh.
Asshole.
Yeah, so, no. And, like, it's funny because we jumped on NXT. I was watching the women's match. I watched how everybody jumped in. And it's just funny how people change. Like, Rhea Ripley was a heel, up, and then she wasn't.
She got cheered here, even though she's supposed to be a bad guy. It was more so when she was in UK, they, like, the English crowd pretty much goes along with what they want them to.
Mm-hmm.
So they booed the shit out of her there. And, you know.
Yeah, like, she's... And it's funny, why she's just a big, tall bully.
Yep.
That's just got a badass short haircut, and it's like, now we got a bully to go against the bully, Shayna Baszler. Like, she's getting cheered because she's fighting another bully. She's not doing anything heroic or anything, like, you know, cheer-worthy. And it's just funny where she's a babyface. We supposed to be booing Io Shirai, even though we not. We supposed to be booing Bianca Belair, even though I'm like, why are they working? I'm like, I'm looking at that team. That heel team is weird because it's the horsewomen and two women they used to fight with.
Yeah, that is what took me by surprise, especially because Io Shirai had even been talking about, and the announcers have been pushing it too, about how she's going after Baszler again. And now all of a sudden they're all teaming up, and I'm like, this is... I mean, I also have the faith in NXT, though, to address that.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll see from there if they do.
But. I mean, because it's like everybody's... I think the biggest thing is like everybody's beefing with everybody because Candice LeRae is and what I call Gwyneth Paltrow with a dropkick. I'm sorry.
Why do you call her that?
Because she's very just curious. So... Like, she's just there. Like, she's fine. That's awesome. And
that's
I mean,
accurate. Yeah.
Yeah, like she, you know, she can wrestle fine. She has a nice look. She's okay on the mic. Like she's there. Like Gwyneth Paltrow. I'm just there. Like you're not hurting anything. You're not elevating anything. You're just fine.
Okay.
And
yeah.
And I look and it's like, but fine works unless you're surrounded by everybody else. Like that something stands out. It's like, even goofy Marina Shafir and Jessamyn Duke who don't know what to do with their hands like Ricky Bobby. Like they're always out there just like and they can't put their hands in pockets, so they always wear tights. So it's just weird watching because they're just so awkward. Like we these high school bullies and we gotta act like a bully but we don't know what to do with our arms and just swigging around. And it stands out because Shayna Baszler's so natural.
Yeah. It also doesn't help, like especially with Marina Shafir, that they show her like backstage. They show her like that behind the scenes stuff of her being a mom and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And she's supposed to be like, you know, supposed to boo her, which she still gets booed, mind you. But it's almost like maybe we shouldn't be.
Her, it's just loving family, you know. Her and Roderick Strong,
yeah.
Roderick Strong, just good old family people before they beat up people.
Yeah,
so.
And attack people from behind and cheat and all that, like. Wait, what? So,
but no, NXT was the only show I watched. This, like, I caught bits and pieces of AEW because World Series was on and basketball was on too. So I was watching more of that. I'll probably catch up AEW later. Forget Raw. No, the other thing I want to talk about Crown Jewel is the only other thing is Brock K. Velasquez.
Yeah,
I know why Brock won. They should have never did the match.
No. Okay, I was shocked when it was first, and I guess we shouldn't be anymore. Because Brock, and this is from an outside perspective, obviously, he comes in and gets out. He's already home. They said he took off, like, right afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, he's stuck.
Yeah, and, I mean, I enjoyed the match, and I'm going, are these guys really hitting each other? Because they came out, and Kane caught him, like, what, I think it was a kick to the knee? Was it a knee strike or something? And Brock, like, backed off, like, limping. I'm like, what are these guys doing? Like, no, guy, this is a different sport. You don't have to do that.
Boy, it is like, we got, you know, some feelings, though. You know, they did fight in real life.
Yeah, and, well, we saw that win.
Yeah, and, like, some feel, no, it's kind of like, you know, Kane needed knee surgery, this excuse for him to have it, and him time, but I'm like, you then somebody wouldn't have cared if Brock fought Ken Shamrock.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, I honestly, it's like, why? They don't care.
Yeah. And they were solidly behind him too.
Yeah. So, and the whole thing is like, Cain Velasquez speaks perfect English.
Yep.
And when it's WWE backstage and any other thing, he's speaking perfect English. Soon as the camera's on, it's Sons of Anarchy.
Yes.
Like mine's MC. It's like, why is Rey Mysterio his hype man, like cutting promos for him? Like I told somebody else, Rey Mysterio ain't like Rey Mysterio's fine on the mic. It ain't like he Ric Flair. So
yeah. It never was.
Yeah, and then it's like you had that match, it lasts what it lasts, he lose, he get to come back, and people saying, oh, well, you know, you have a big star, that's how you do it, because you know you're gonna have a long time. Then you have a Ronda Rousey. What are you talking? I'm like, no, it's not. That's that. I know why they did it, because it's like, he's not going to win, because it's a title match. But I'm like, you got this brand new guy, you make him out to be this big deal, And now we're not going to, you know, I guess people figure like, well, we'll forget the fact that he lost and everything like that. I'm like, the match was unnecessary. The whole angle was unnecessary. Like, you could have saved that for Mania.
Yeah. And it's also a weird one, too, because, one, they had a real-life fight with real-life results. And, like, that scar on Brock's face is from that fight, for real.
Mm-hmm.
So then you can't, like, it almost was as if Brock had to win. Because he wants to take the L in real life and the L in this, like, sports entertainment. And I understand it's just entertainment, but...
Yeah, I mean, Brock, we both know Brock don't give a damn as long as the check clear. Because it's... I mean, I get why he won. But it's kind of like, ever since... Now, all the booking involving Brock since they went on Fox just seemed silly. Because basically, Kofi Kingston's title reign just... It doesn't exist as far as...
Okay. Yeah,
they act like, oh, it never happened. And then they basically set that up. He loses in 3 seconds instead of a fight for Kane. And now what? Okay, he beat Kane Velasquez in 3 minutes.
Yeah.
What now?
And the thing is, like, I don't know, maybe... that came out about Jericho talking about his feud with Kevin Owens. Like, they were supposed to be the main event for WrestleMania or something for the title until Brock decided he wanted to fight Goldberg and wanted the title to be involved. I don't know if you read that. It was an interview we did sometime this week. Now, whether it's true or not, I don't know. But unless Brock just wanted this thing to be for the title, there was no reason for a title to even be on the line here. And then to go to the Kofi thing, and I know it's, we can't spend a ridiculous amount of time on it. I'm going to disagree with you that they kind of forgot he was champion. I think what they're doing is actually worse. They flat out said he was champion, lost to Brock, and hasn't gotten his rematch yet. Every time. And I'm going, stop. Like, make up your mind.
You know why I say the whole forgot champion thing? Because you remember when they first did the draft?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Yeah, and then the New Day. Oh, longest running tag team. And then I'm like, that's it? Mm-hmm. That's all? Like, that's all they were? Like, you know, something just happened. And it's like, it's a disconnect. Because I know they think Kofi's a big deal. Because every time I turn on Fox and they do a SmackDown commercial, when they show four people, he's one of the four. He's always one of the four. It's like they show him and Roman Reigns, and then they show, before they were showing Charlotte and Becky, and now they're showing Sasha and Bayley. It's always those four.
Yeah.
And every single time. So it's like whenever I see a commercial, I see a flyer, he's always on there. And now he's just a tag team special. Well, he has to be a tag team special now because Xavier Woods out basically for like a year. But even before that, it just seemed like, we know, we saw what happened, and it's kind of like, it happened, and it, oh well, like, he ain't getting another chance. And I'm like, okay, then, you got two world champions on SmackDown. The person that, you know, one of them just beat the guy that's on Raw, the other person, who is he going to feed? Like, who's wrestling Brock Lesnar for the title? Roman Reigns again?
See... Okay, that is actually, like, we're not going to WrestleMania this year. I mean, we're just not. We weren't going to anyways. That's a nightmare scenario. Another Brock and Roman Reigns match. I remember leaving New Orleans after that going, this is like a funeral.
Mm-hmm. Like,
no one's happy. Dallas, they popped for a little bit, but no one walked out of there going, God, this is a great show.
I was like, let's get home. This shit lasted all damn day. That's how I felt. I'm like, let's wrap this shit up.
Yeah, I was apologizing to Kevin because I insisted I wanted to see the Cruiserweight title match. Wait, was that or New Orleans?
That was New Orleans. Okay. Dallas was the one where Roman fought Triple H, and that match started
before
11 o'clock and went 40 goddamn minutes.
Yeah, we were there for the pre-show. So we actually saw, like, Lita announce it was going to be the women's title instead of the Divas title and all that stuff. And I remember apologizing at the end going, all right, look, I know I said I wanted to get her early, so I'll take the responsibility on this thing. And that's one of the determining factors in not going to WrestleMania again is it's way too long.
Like... If you're going to do this, just make it 2 days.
Yes.
Make it 3 hours Saturday, 3 hours Sunday, or 4 and 4. And because it's like 9 hours is like, that's, I'm probably going to Royal Rumble, already booked my hotel, And I'm even dreading that because that's going to probably be 6 hours.
Yeah, I know. I know what you're talking, what you're saying, but
Royal Rumble is fun. Rumble's
awesome. Yeah.
Yeah, Rumble, like, and last time with the Rumble, like, that's probably the most fun out of, or second most fun I had any pay-per-views. I went to Rumble San Antonio, and that was in the Alamo Dome, and that was like a perfect size because it's kind of like big but not too big.
Yeah, we went to Atlanta years ago for before I was even, at least not even married, let alone met each other. I got that backwards. Anyways, Rumble was a lot of fun, but I don't know, man. The shows get too long, but yeah, the Kane thing, I was like, I don't understand this, but, like,
I mean, I get it. Yeah, it's kind of like, you know, we got it. And I get the I get the logic somewhat, because, like, you know, he's going to be here for the long haul, and if he needs knee surgery, perfect excuse for him to get the surgery, he comes back, we can always go back to it. But I'm like, we got somebody this big, and he is a big deal. And it's kind of like, they normally, like, the only other person that had, like, a big deal that lost like that was Sting.
Yeah, yeah, well,
yeah. Yeah, and we know, and that seems stupid, too, because it was like, Triple H don't need a win. Like, he tried to boost up his winning percentage for the Hall of Fame. Like, that thing seems stupid. That thing seems stupid, too, and that was all, like, we just got to make sure everybody know we beat WCW. That's all that was.
Yeah, literally, when they brought in DX and the NWO, okay, and maybe this is why they did it this way. We forgot about Tyson Fury and Braun Strowman.
Braun Strowman, mm-hmm.
That was another no-win situation.
Tyson Fury wasn't losing.
No, it's exactly, but then you're going to sacrifice Braun again on a big stage? Like, good God.
And that's the thing. Braun can't be champion, so they don't know what to do with him.
See, all right, you're saying that, and I get why, but we just saw all that stuff with Bray Wyatt. Who the hell's going to beat this guy?
But I'm like, no. It's a reason Andre the Giant was rarely ever champion. Like, how are you going to believe? And we've seen Braun Strowman. It's kind of like, if it ain't Brock Lesnar or Roman Reigns with a gun, ain't nobody beat him with a fair one. Like, they've established that for the past 2 years, where it's like, if it's a one-on-one wrestling match, Braun Strowman ain't losing. They have established that immensely. So they stuck themselves in the corner where, like, and I think the crowd's like, we know he's good. We know he's better than almost everybody else. But it's kind of like, if he has a title match, it's going to be some type of shenanigans, because it's like, Braun has the belt. Who beating Braun if it ain't Brock Lesnar or it ain't Roman Reigns? But so yeah, that
was a boring match anyways, but it didn't,
like, Tyson Fury is like, he's athletic but awkward. Like, he's not gonna be doing no hip tosses. Like, he's a big, tall, gangly ass boxer,
and that's the thing, he's not intimidating at all. You're just like, he looks like you should play basketball. Let me take a sip of water so my words don't mix together again before something terrible comes out.
Yeah, one of those athletes that don't look like an athlete, because we're trained to athletes look a certain way, but then you realize, I mean, he is heavyweight champion. He knocking out basically everybody he fights. And that's happening in real life. So, but it's different. Like, I would say it's different because you used to watch him wrestling, but that whole size thing and look thing that's a big deal now in every company. Because for different reasons, you know, people say, how can you have something with Marco Stunt on AEW? And I argue with that, like, the same reason you had Finn Balor wrestling Braun Strowman. And now, I don't know if you heard, Survivor Series is all three brands are involved.
Yeah. I was just reading the headline. Apparently, Vince took off from Saudi. He left everybody behind. Is this serious?
Oh, my God. You got to be shitting me. People already felt a certain way anyway.
Well, now they're saying that he left early in that show. Mm-hmm. So maybe that's why. That's a little different, I guess.
Yeah, because I got to make sure I book SmackDown. They can handle this here. But that's still bad optics.
Yeah. Oh, That's something.
They've had plenty of bad optics this week. So this is the last one they kind of they've had a bad week media wise. Huh. So yeah, but no, people brought up the whole thing. You have Survivor, because I've talked to Kevin about it, and I think I talked to you about it. NXT up until recently, for the most part, is like the small guys stay with the small guys, the big guys fight with the big guys. And it's kind of blurred now when the whole Roderick Strong, Keith Lee, Dominic Dijakovic stuff. Yeah. You put in Survivor Series, Adam Cole, Adam Cole in the same ring as Bobby Lashley is going to be like, y'all call Chad Gable shorty. Like, how do you think that's going to look on TV?
Oh, no kidding. Well, like, Gable is what? Almost the same height as Otis.
Gable is an inch shorter than Andrade and Ricochet. That's it. And they ain't calling Charlotte girlfriend Shorty Andrade, and they never
will. Yeah. I don't get it. There's so much we could go over with this stuff, that because I haven't talked wrestling in like 3 weeks. The whole thing's a mess, and I'm going to AEW Wednesday, so we'll see how this works out, because I'm not sour on it. Mm-hmm. It's not as good as everyone makes it out to be. Like, if you watch that AEW After Dark or whatever, it's the same garbage wrestling match at the end of every show. Or somewhere in the show. It's always someone's got chairs. And now they're doing Unsanctioned with Jon Moxley and Kenny Omega. And it's like, this is the same dumb shit, but it's just a different company.
Yeah, like, I saw the stuff with Cody in the limousine with Tony Schiavone. I'm like, we doing Ric Flair, Starrcade 93 again? Like, I've seen this before with Ric Flair, Mean Gene. And I'm like, I know I'm supposed to be thinking the same thing because they filmed it the same way. And, like, you got a 60-minute match with judges. Like, they trying to be WCW or NWA.
That's old Clash of Champions bit. Like,
yeah, like, you calling Terry Funk to be one of the judges?
Oh, I wouldn't put it past anything.
I mean, I get it's, and I know it's a nostalgia thing. Like, it's a crowd for that, because, like, there's a lot of people that stopped watching wrestling when WCW went away, and they probably came back. It's like, even the same network. You got Jim Ross and Tony Schiavone. You seen Chris Jericho. Last time you probably watched WCW, Tony Schiavone was calling a Chris Jericho match. So,
no, he was calling Elix Skipper versus Vince Russo match, more it's more likely.
I was trying to be nice.
Yeah. I will say this for Jim Ross and Tony Schiavone, they sound great. Like, they are reinvigorated. It's a lot of fun to listen to those guys. And it's actually kind of comforting. Like, hearing Tony Schiavone calling wrestling just seems natural.
Because we grew up on that.
Yeah, it's so weird.
Yeah, but, and so, I mean, it's, I'll wait and see. Like, a 60-minute match with Cody Rhodes and Chris Jericho is not something I'm like, yeah, I need to see that. Because no. It's like, I'm not a fan of 60-minute matches anyway, especially at this day and age in my life. And especially involving, no offense to Chris Jericho, I ain't trying to see his old ass 1 hour.
Yeah, it's funny. Elise, whenever he's on, she likes Chris Jericho. And I think he's hilarious now. He's really good at his job. And that's what I take from it. But when he gets in there and wrestles, she's like, he got fat. I was like, yes, honey.
Yeah.
He's been partying up on the road with with his band. So that's why.
It's just weird because people used to mock other companies for doing that. And I remember Chris Jericho was doing a big old thing about, WWE got old ass Brock Lesnar's champion and nothing. I'm like, and you champ. And I see how Brock Lesnar looks, and I see how you look. And looks ain't everything, and we grew up on Dusty Rhodes and all of that. But it's just like, it's like he looks that way, he wrestles slow. And I mean, he's old, so I'm not expecting him to wrestle like he even wrestled like 6-7 years ago. And he can do that Jeff Jarrett style, like, I know where to be and what to get by to do that. But I'm like, the bar is set too high from other companies, other people saying that, like, I've seen too many great, like, book it aside, I've seen too many great wrestling from too many great people to be satisfied with like what Chris Jericho is doing. No offense to Chris Jericho. Like, that's, if you a fan of that, you can be a fan of that. I'm personally like, whatever.
Yeah, I don't know. There's some of the stuff I dig. Jericho's one of them, because one, he's one of the only guys that looks like a legit star. Also, his music, whether you like the genre or not, it sounds important where everybody else's doesn't. It just sounds like, okay, we got this guy making songs. Kind of like what WWE's music's turning into since they stopped working with that CFO place.
Mm-hmm. Guys, whoever they are. That music is trash now. Like, yeah. Bring Jim Johnston back.
Yeah, it's a noticeable difference in quality.
For the worse. Yes. And why did it go? That's the whole thing that gets me. And we can, I guess, wrap up on wrestling because it's involving like WWE. Why are they going cheap and they don't have to? Because if Forbes magazine is talking about how NXT wrestlers are complaining about pay, you got a damn problem. Like, I didn't read that like some West wrestling website. I read that on Forbes. Mm-hmm. And you don't have to be cheap. You don't got to, like, just if they doubled their salary, they'd be just fine. And like what? So they're making 60, you paying them 120. That's really going to break y'all. Like, come on now. Like, we know how much money y'all make. We know how much more money y'all making now. Y'all already underpaid them to begin with compared to every other, you know, sports league. Why are you pissing people off when you have competition? Like, just pay them.
Yeah.
That's it.
I know. Well, yeah. Well, the old adage is you spend money to make money. And I know that's like, you know, it's a little different now, but you go cheap and your product comes off as cheap. It looks cheap. Stuff like that. It's like, don't do it. But they're making billions of dollars from TV deals. So maybe it's like, well, we don't feel this is important anymore, you know?
Yeah, well, here's the thing. It's from TV deals based on, you know, ratings is still on scale. Ratings still ratings. People like, I ain't doing this no more.
Yeah, yeah.
And then what?
Well, we'll get back into wrestling at another day. Where do you want to go? Because we got the Star Wars trailer, which I don't even know if there's a lot to say about it.
Besides, it just looks awesome. You can't wait to see the movie.
Yeah, it looks beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
That, and I think I said this to you over Messenger, but that scene of the ice planet or water ice barge, whatever it was. That's got to be the most ridiculously beautiful thing that's ever happened in a Star Wars movie. I was so taken with that. That's one of the only things I remember.
Yeah. One thing we'll say about Star Wars is no matter, they've never skimped on how things look.
Yeah.
Ever. And yeah. It's kind of like, you know, you're going to try to get yourself immersed into a universe you don't know anything about. It's going to look pretty. So, and I'm like, it's everything I've seen from the trailer and stuff like that is like, I can't wait to see this. I know bits and pieces, but I don't really know. I still don't know what Carrie Russell's character is doing in the movie. I don't know if you've even seen her yet.
No, I haven't. Yeah. Have they showed her?
I don't think, not in the trailers they haven't. Or if they have, I blinked and I missed it. I'm just kind of like, this is probably going to be the last one for a while. So
that's what it sounds like, yeah.
Because they still trying to, you know, it seemed like they focusing on having Disney Plus carry the weight while they figure out what they want to do with movies-wise, because they got some figuring out to do. And
well, and they figured out one thing.
Yeah, they and you know what's funny? I made that joke. I was talking to my friends. I'm like, if Kathleen Kennedy's reading this Twitter feed, these people will not be making those Star Wars movies. Because I remember when that came out on Sunday. And then sure enough, 2 days later, it's like, oh, we decided to go. And the whole thing there, excuse was, because they got a Netflix deal, too. It's like, they don't feel like they have enough time to focus on two things at the same time, and we don't want to wait, and Netflix don't want to wait, so that's cool. I'm like, yeah, that sounds cute and that sounds nice, but it's funny. Somebody showed me that Twitter thing, and I started reading it, and the more I just read, I was just shaking my head like, you got to be shitting me. And
I give those guys big credit, though, for not knowing what the hell they're doing. They made a ton of money out of that. And now they turned it into a 200. Yeah, exactly. I mean, now they turned it into a $250 million Netflix deal.
Yeah, failing upwards.
Yeah. And then there's the people who try. It's The Hustle. That's all they did. They hustled HBO, who fell into it, and were like, well, we're making money, so we're good.
And like, HBO tried to invest to help them because they knew they didn't know what they were doing. They turned it down, and they still kept going. That's because I remember we were talking about before off the air, and you were like, it ain't that bad. They made them a lot of money. I was like, you didn't read through it all the way.
No,
I just skimmed up my wait till you, and it, because it was like, if it's just one thing, it's like people being paid. That's one thing. If you got showrunners who basically meant, I don't know how to run a show, that's a problem. And it's like, well, we cast Jason Momoa because we went on some fan message board and they said he'd be a good choice. I'm glad it happened to work out because Jason Momoa is just charismatic as hell. But that sounds like Kevin Feige would never say, oh, we got Ronda Rousey's Captain Marvel because the internet said so.
It's the sun shines on a dog's ass someday. Is that how that goes?
Yeah. Sometimes even the
sun. Boy, they got quite the tan off of that sun.
And it's like we didn't know how to do a storyboard. We first did the pilot was a disaster. We couldn't figure out how to film certain things or write certain things. And a lot of it was just like the actors just basically winging it themselves, like their character traits, what the actors decided because we didn't know how to do it.
You're paraphrasing this. Like, or is this?
No, this is what they said.
Okay, I know this was live, so maybe some got lost. Were they just shitting around? I mean, it sounds so unbelievable. With the success of this show, that sounds so utterly unbelievable.
We don't read online about our stuff. We did that one time when we got real sad because we heard how people talked about us. We want to do a fantasy show, but we try to take out as much of the fantasy as possible.
Yeah, I saw that. I was like,
which is one, silly as hell because Game of Thrones, and two is like, how would you say that? But then like that doesn't even match with how season 8 is.
Well, I was trying to figure out. I thought Game of Thrones was pretty grounded. I've never read the books, but
I guess
was dead, right? So
here's the thing: it's grounded when the people stuff involved, but it's a show that the first episode starts with the White Walkers.
Ah, true. That's true.
And the end of the first season starts with dragons being born after a woman sets herself on fire. So you're only going to be so much grounded when you're involving dragons and zombies. And it wasn't like it was always fantasy, but it's fantasy. Like, it's magic stuff happened. Like, somebody, gave birth to a smoke monster. Like, that shit happened.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's kind of like, I know it's like you don't want to do too much fantasy because that's why people don't think they think it's going to work in the first place, because fantasy shows tend not to work because it's kind of like, I ain't doing this shit. Like, it's different when you read, like, Lord of the Rings is the exception. It wasn't the rule, and it's always been like that. But everything I've seen and what they talked about, what other people talked about, is just basically like these guys did not know what they were doing, and when we tried to help them, they were stubborn and obstinate, which is why some directors never came back, and why other ones like, whatever. I ain't even gonna argue anymore. And it was fine when they had George Martin, get his stuff, we can adapt his stuff, and it's perfect. And before, when he wasn't there anymore, it's like people gave him leeway because it's like, well, they know how the story ends and they have to, like, they can't wait on him and they have TV constraints. But the more you heard about it, it's kind of like they wanted to wrap things up. They wanted to rush things. HBO was doing their damn, like, maybe you need some other writers, people to help you out, because we here, like, you're making us a lot of money. We try to make a job. We got it. Like, somebody trying to put together a Stairmaster in Chinese. They don't speak Chinese. I figured out. It's just screws.
The Twitter thing was so long. That's why I had to stop going after a while. That I did see where they were the only ones that wrote the show. And I'm like, that's very strange.
HBO asked them if they wanted more, you like to have some help. They're like, nah, how hard can it be? Is basically what they said. Then they're like, oh, it's real hard, but it's too late now.
And that was the part to me where I'm like, why didn't HBO step in and be like, no, you're getting some more writers? Like, this is our baby regardless, and we can fire your ass. You know, and if there's all that turmoil, or supposed turmoil, whatever, that HBO was like, no, this is what's going on.
You want to know why? Because HBO ain't Disney. And that's why they ain't working for Disney. Because that's, trust me, had this been Disney, if this was like Marvel and Star Wars, that shit would have ended. If this started on a Monday, by Thursday, like, nah. Because what we've seen is, especially with Star Wars, Kathleen Kennedy has no problem firing somebody like, you know, we're doing things this way, and we have a certain level of quality control, for better or for worse, and if you can't follow it, hit the bricks.
Yeah, and well, and that's what she did with these guys. Yeah. I guess it was mutual, but reading the article you sent me, they already, like, Kathleen Kennedy and Disney already knew these guys only worked on one thing at a time. Because that's all they worked on was Game of Thrones, which is just ridiculous to think if that's like the results we got at the end, that's the best. But I guess they, you know, they had one foot out the door. But so you hire them on, then they signed the Netflix deal, which was what, concurrent
or something? Yeah, like it was kind of like they were willing to wait, but it might be talking about like a 3 to 4 year wait. It's like, you ain't the Rock. Ain't about waiting that long. Like, it's stuff that needs to be done.
Yeah.
Especially now where like everybody's getting into the streaming wars, and I know Netflix is just pissing away money. It's like, well, we ain't spending this, it's gonna expire, so why not? But
yeah,
I wonder if they have second thoughts.
I don't know. Well, all right, I guess not right now, no, because they've got nothing in the return. If nothing for the return is the norm, then I would think, yeah, they're like, wait, what did we just do?
Yeah, because it's kind of like they don't mind paying. Like, they've paid a lot of money to showrunners before, but the other showrunners and, like, comedians have been, like, proven success. And it's like they're responsible for success. I don't think anyone is at this point now, they might have thought that before, is thinking, like, Game of Thrones is successful because of these two guys. Like, they might have thought that back during the highlights of the season. Now, no. So it's kind of like, okay, you got these two guys, and they didn't have barely any success before they got on Game of Thrones. They got, like, people don't even talk about Game of Thrones anymore. When they do, it's like, that's how much people got turned off by season 8. And that was the biggest show on the damn planet. And it's like, oh, I don't know about that shit. Like, I don't want to talk about it. Like, that's how much. And I didn't hate the season like some people did, but I know it was like, it was definitely, we both acknowledged there was some problems.
Oh,
and it's
yeah,
like some serious problem now. Yeah, it's just, and I know people go, well, people worry about Kathleen Kennedy. I'm like, beside Lord, like the people, the Lego movie guys, who else she got rid of was like this big time, like Josh Trank? What has he done? Has he done anything since?
I think he has actually done something. I think, like, some movie we'd never heard of course. Okay. But I think.
Colin Trevorrow got dropped because he made that bad movie after Jurassic World, and he like, I don't know about this. And it was like, he wasn't anything. Steven Spielberg gave him a chance. Like, anybody could direct the Jurassic World.
Yeah.
Like, and all of a sudden, like, and we was like, they just getting these guys like, oh, you look like how I used to look in my yearbook picture. Want to do a $1 billion movie? Like, what? And I know we've joked about it. They need to really stop doing that. Like, really. Because it's kind of like, it gets real noticeable where Rian Johnson is the exception. He's not the rule. And even then, it's like, he did like 3 or 4 movies. Mm-hmm. And they each kind of did well. It wasn't like, you know, he did do Looper that did well before he jumped into The Last Jedi. Like, you know, some people have to kind of put their work in. Not this indie movie, 3 people liked. Oh, I showed my homie Martin. They talk about Martin Scorsese. I thought, like, he got the eye of the tiger. Let's have him do a Star Wars, a Marvel movie. Like, stop doing that.
And it's worked out. It when it works out, it works out. When it doesn't, it's bad. Like, because what was the guy that directed both Spider-Man, new Spider-Man movies?
John Watts. Yes.
And so, but you also wonder if that's a product of being in the Marvel system.
Yeah, because, you know, it's like,
because Kevin Feige ain't going to be like, no, you're not messing this up. So,
like, it's, and even then, one of the arguments about Captain Marvel was they didn't let the directors do what they do. Like, it's funny, when they, the two people that directed it, I didn't know who they were, and then I started watching Billions, and they directed a bunch of episodes on there. So it was like, and the episode they directed were like good. But I know the argument's kind of like with Marvel, unless you like real big name, it's not really just stuff. It doesn't feel like, oh, this is the director's thing. Like Ryan Coogler, you felt it. Taika Waititi, you definitely knew that was like his stuff, because it's like that was definitely different from like anything Marvel did. And then the same thing like Guardians of the Galaxy. But beyond that, it's kind of like it's a samesies.
Yeah.
And that's not a bad thing. Like, you know, it works. It's been working. So like if it's consistent, eights are better than like swinging for a 10 and getting a 5.
Yeah. Oh man, the whole comics thing is just nuts to me about what an intricate world it's created. Like, even on screen and off. I mean, I think last time we did a show, we were talking about how Hollywood is these superhero movies, superhero and Star Wars movies. And what, mm-hmm. I mean, what else is there? Because even Vin Diesel, I know there's Fast and Furious, all right? But did you see he's Bloodshot's finally coming out?
Mm-hmm. I mean, like Joker's the highest grossing R-rated movie of all time, and didn't even come out in China.
Which is saying something, because that's more than Deadpool and The Hangover. People forget how big The Hangover was.
Yeah, and like Deadpool didn't, like, it's funny, the two biggest ones are ones that didn't even come out in China. Like Deadpool didn't come out in China either.
And that's what you get.
Yes. So
I've been watching Black Lightning. I understand what they're going for in that. So, which. I don't know. Maybe that's a good place to jump off. Last time we talked, I hadn't seen Black Lightning yet.
And I told you it was like it was different.
I hated the first episode. I was like, what are we doing? Like, no, it's taking everything cool about the show away. And then all of a sudden it started growing on me, and now I'm going, oh, I see the vision, what they're going for in this. It seems very impractical, but I also forgot about the history of that city. So, the whole thing is just screwing with your head.
Yes.
And Billy Duke,
man,
he's an evil person. And I mean, Billy Duke is an evil person.
He's a monster.
He's splitting up families.
Monster.
Splitting up families, killing children, resurrecting people, telling them to kill their mom. And then he burns the bad guy with straight UV light, who's a horrible person in his own right. And you go,
so damn hard.
Doing that
to and they're cracking jokes like, you know, it's a shame if you had a little bit more melanin, you wouldn't have that problem. Oh. I'm like, and you know what's funny? Tobias Well was like a monster.
Yes.
And seeing him all reducing, struggling and shriveling, like, and Bill Duke is all calm and collected. And he's just like all soft spoken, and that's what makes it even worse.
Yes.
Like, he ain't sneering, he ain't chewing scenery. He just like, this is the day at the office. Like, yeah, I'm gonna get Black Lightning this new suit and lie to him that I'm using his daughter as like a strike agent to get information so her boyfriend can slaughter all these people. Oh yeah, the one that she didn't know was alive that I had kill his mom to see if this technology worked.
That's only two episodes, essentially. No, it was three, maybe.
It's kind of like, and it was weird for me, too, because I saw the first episode. I'm like, it felt like I was missing stuff. Like, I know watched all the episodes of season two. What happened between season two and season, it seemed like a lot of stuff happened that they did not explain. It was like, you're going to have to figure out your own.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was pretty lost when it started. I'm like, wait, and then I stopped and went, wait, the government is allowing this? Like, they're saying the Markovians are right on the door. And I'm like, on U.S. soil?
I mean, I guess they got agents going on. Like, it's funny where they talk about, you know, it's the Markovia threat. They didn't make it out like it's a big deal. It seemed like it's a huge deal because, like, you know, Freeland's on the martial law. We basically a war about to start. And seeing the dude from the nerdy dude from the Jamie Foxx show being this, you know, metahuman hating metahuman is it's just on so many levels. It's like, this is, it's a lot of stuff going on that they basically like, they, and they are not holding your hand either. And that's what I respect about the show. It's like, it took me a while to figure out what was going on, but once I did it, got like, okay, now I feel it. But it's like, and I, because a lot of times they like, they spill everything out to his detriment. This one is like, nah, you either smart or you're not.
Yeah, and they're doing a, a good job. I can't think of a word. The principal, you know, that everyone hated, he's actually level-headed, like, and actually skeptical of what's going on. Even when Jefferson comes back, he's like, so I'm confused how this is working. You're a guidance counselor, but yet you're getting, you've gotten a pay raise and more responsibility. That doesn't make any sense. And then ASA comes in, tries to, like, nab one of the kids, and he's like, first in, they're like, you can't do this, jumping on top of the ASA guys. And it's like, well, wait, what? This is the guy that we were supposed to, like, dislike. Now all of a sudden, and you're like, I mean, okay.
Everybody, like, everyone's nuanced. It's not, no, I'm just villain to be a villain. It's like, I'm doing villainous thing. What's the purpose behind it? Because it's like, Bill Duke is doing this for the greater good of defending his country.
That's what he says, at least.
I mean, that's what he says. But it's like, and it's like, okay, he's reuniting the family. Like, I'm a man of my word. You do this for me, I get you. Like, and you see the good things he's doing, but then you see all the evil shit he's doing.
Yeah, murdering that kid for reading Tobias's mind.
Mm-hmm. And Tobias, like, yeah, I would have did the same thing.
Yeah, yes. And I think that's what pissed Billy Duke off. I think that scene, which was pretty rough, mm-hmm. I think that's what did it.
Yeah, and then he came back and apologized. Because he knew it was like, because this wasn't serving a purpose. I was just doing this because I was mad. And
but isn't that not a torture technique, but like a brainwashing technique? You treat them bad and treat them good so that they remember the good more than the bad.
Yeah, but here's the thing. That's not working on I know you need something from me, so you're going to give me what I want. Because if you, otherwise, you just would have killed me anyway. So if I'm going out, I'm going out my way.
Yeah.
And
we also forgot Lala's back from the dead again.
And getting shot 9 times, and then he's just popping back up, and they like, what? What the hell is going on?
And he's like, I don't know, the savior? Like, coming out, I was like, why are you all doing this to people? Like, wait a second. I haven't forgotten a damn thing you've done. There's just so much going on. And it all makes sense, and it's actually concise.
Yes.
And that's why I love this show. Like I said, I was like, I don't know if I like the first episode, but they haven't steered us wrong at all.
So, and I'm trying to figure out how they're going to fit this in with Crisis.
That's my thing, too. Like, it seems, unless he's just like, what am I doing here? And then gets zipped back. I don't know.
I mean, because keep in mind, they do enough superhero stuff, because last season, Jennifer could barely keep it together, and now she's a damn Human Torch.
How awesome. Like, one, it was a beautiful scene. Two, the look on her face. She went from, like, terror to joy to, like, overjoy, where she was, it looked like she was going to start crying, did start crying.
Like, look what I can do.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, look what I can do. I can fly and blow up facilities with, like, 2 moves. And before, I was afraid of touching people.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's also one thing, before we move to Black Lightning, bring up, because somebody else noticed the same thing. There was that scene, episode 2, Nyssa gets back to her place, or 3. She strips down to her underwear and then sits down to, like, get on the computer, where none of that was necessary. But as a verbose male, thank God. Thank you. I don't know who directed that episode. You, sir. you are a pervert, because it was not necessary. So my buddy Juan at work, he's like, hey, did you get to that scene where she goes and gets on her computer? And I'm like, the one where it's basically an ass shot the entire time? They even filmed it to where it was like on when she sits down, the camera's on the ground filming up. So all you see are thigh and booty. And I was like, fuck yes. This show's great.
Yeah, I've noticed between that and Batwoman, they do not shy away from sex.
Nope. No.
It's because Batwoman, like, it's you know, it's getting its bearings. It's like rough and like I
Yeah.
see the framing of a good show, but it's not there yet. But it's one, I just laugh at the whole thing. It's like they basically establish, like, you know, okay, what is that suit made out of?
They told us. I just forget.
God particles, like F material. She blocking bombs.
Oh, I didn't see this week. Is that what she does?
Oh my God.
Okay.
With the
Well, he shot
cape.
her with a 50 caliber sniper rifle from point
Yes.
blank and it didn't go through. And I just went, okay.
Yeah, no. It's this seat. Yes. She's fighting a villain and the villain's throwing like little grenades. And she's just throwing her cape over each one throughout, like, at least 15 to 20. And I know this thing is like, you know, this is state of the art, well, perfect material. I'm like, ain't nobody beating her. She could just put a cape over a bomb and it's not even messing up the wig. But
Yeah.
I'll say this about the show. They are not wasting time with storylines.
Okay. That I think is like kind of my issue with it right now. There's so much going on to where you've barely gotten familiar with the characters. I mean, I don't know. I'm guessing something's going to go on with Lucius. Is it? No, his name's not Lucius Fox. That's his dad.
Yeah, Luke.
Luke. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. It's Lucius Fox Jr. That's right. It's Luke. He becomes a Batwing. And like there, I guess something goes on there. But they've got like her former relationship, who's now married, and then they've got their thing going, and then her sister, who may or may not be the bad guy, the stepmom, who is,
Oh.
and I'm going,
Oh, yeah.
slow down, like.
But they're doing what Arrow did because it's like we don't want to draw stuff out, so we want to get to this. And I was laughing because it was like two episodes in, we find out that the villain's her sister, and her sister know that she's Batwoman because like the dummy didn't wear contacts.
Yeah.
And at least they kind of like established that, like, yeah, she did look me dead in the eye, and if that's my sister, she gonna know what my fucking face looks
Yeah.
like. So they didn't like do that whole pretend, oh, I don't know how she found out.
Well, and then also, she rescues her former girlfriend, and I'm like, are they gonna start making out? Because there was a chemistry there. Like, it was a weird rescue. Well, I'm sorry, it was not a weird rescue. It was a rescue we haven't seen before, where an openly lesbian character rescues a chick that, and then there's a chemistry there. Now, if it was a guy rescuing the chick or the chick rescuing the guy, whatever, we're
We'd have
used to
been
that.
used to it, but we're not used to it
Yeah.
here. And then it's this whole thing going on where they're shaming her, like, oh, she just hide in the closet with her fake ass husband
Yeah.
and all that stuff. Like, and I'm out and proud and I'm real, but I gotta deal with that. Like, cause they got back with like a hypocrite, like, I'm out and about and proud, but I gotta hide my identity. You know, but it's like she knows why, because that whole thing, like, well, why did Bruce do all this? And like Bruce is miserable, but he did it for a reason. And so it's going through a lot. And then yeah, the stepmom basically lied about the body so they can move forward in life, which I've watched enough Arrow to not be too much surprised to see that. But I'm like, that's, we've only seen four episodes, and it's like, hey, it's a lot that they have established.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm like, I'm not figuring like who's the main villain?
And did they introduce the Mad Hatter this
No,
week?
not
Okay.
yet.
I'm figuring that's what those cards were.
No, they introduced a different villain this week. It's also a woman that stole stuff, and I won't spoil the episode. Let's just say it's a funny thing with a batarang, and Rachel Maddow tears into her.
Oh boy.
And that's the and it's just hilarious. I'm like, she's just there's the voice each week, like, oh, you know, where Batwoman been at the past 3 weeks? We've been having all these crops. She busy doing her hair and, you know, going to the spa. Like, Gotham needs you.
Okay.
Like, damn. Like, cause it's different where she's a public superhero that has commentary. And like, we're used to even all the CW shows, people know who people are. But they aren't talked about like that.
Yeah. Well, I'm trying to think, like, where, like, I guess, is she part of Crisis?
Who?
Kate Kane, or
Yeah.
Batwoman.
Yeah.
All right, because I'm trying to honestly trying to remember like on set photos that have leaked. I don't remember seeing her.
It's a lot of people we haven't seen yet because we haven't even
Okay.
talked, because it's kind of like, it's a lot of stuff going on. I think it's three things in December and two in January.
I'm kind of wishing it would be longer, because the way they're, and I'm going to say dragging it out on Arrow and Flash, that I'm wondering, like, how much, I mean, obviously there's some more episodes of that left to get into, but I'm just wondering how much is going to be established already.
Yeah, the logistics would have to be such a pain in the ass. Mm-hmm. Because keep in mind, like, when we first did crossovers, there's two episodes, and then normally it's been like three. And then it went to four. Now we got five involving, what, five shows, six shows, and potentially two new ones?
Yeah. And to get to where I'm going with this, like, especially because it's part of the new ones, totally forgot about Superman and then Birds of Prey, which is Birds of Prey going to be... That's going to be a weird one because they've got the movie as well. But then is that going to be the Arrow spinoff, I'm guessing?
Yeah. Because it's kind of like, okay, they went back in the past, so that makes sense. Like, how did it go? That way you don't have to worry about having old makeup with two of them. Man, Oliver, like, he just can't catch a damn break.
No, and, like, just watching this, right now, I know what they're doing, going through all the different phases, like a history of him, and so you can see, like, some of these people for the last time. But part of me is like, get to it. You've only got five episodes left.
Oh, they did seven.
I thought it was eight episodes. I
thought they were doing 10.
All right. Well, yeah. Two makes a little bit of a difference. Not much, to be honest. But, like, come
I was
on,
surprised.
Let's go.
I was surprised Thea came back, honestly.
For one, yeah, because she's not in, she's not part of the Crisis part.
Yeah.
So, I guess, you know.
I figured she was done. This, it's funny, all this started from that one show.
Yeah.
And one day when I have time, I'm going to rewatch like season one and season two of Arrow, just to see, especially season two, because that's still like my favorite season of like any comic show. Like,
yeah,
that season.
That was the Deathstroke one, right?
That was the Deathstroke one. That season was like damn near perfect. Yeah. And it's just like so many things started from him just, you know, killing drug dealers and crooked businessmen and messing with his best friend's girlfriend. And this, look at us now. We got a Batwoman show and a Superman show.
Yeah.
Like, we get a Superman show.
Which is...
Okay. With a Superman people like already.
And a Superman that... Yeah, I'm trying not to sneeze, but I got... I'm also trying to be calm about this. All right. All you for a second.
Yeah, like, it's... I remember before, it's like, they couldn't even mention the idea of Batman. It's like, certain things were just off limits, and they couldn't even talk about. And now we're getting a Superman show with Lois Lane, where we already know Superman and Lois Lane. They already been established. They're already liked. And... Okay. Yeah. Is Batman the only show that is just off limits?
That's what I'm guessing.
Is Batman the only character? Because, like... They're going to have Bruce Wayne on Crisis. They got Bruce Wayne on Titans. And it's like they... So no Batman, no Wonder Woman, but everybody else?
They did show Batman on Titans, though.
You never really saw Batman.
Shadows. Yeah, Wonder Woman, I'm guessing, is off. What about Aquaman? They haven't even mentioned that.
You've had Aqualad.
Yeah.
It's just weird because it's kind of like... No one, who would have guessed this would have happened?
Yeah.
And I remember Supergirl came, like, oh, Super, he's out of town. He's out doing something else. And then he just shows up, and he's awesome. And it's like, how do they always get the casting right? It's like, why don't they just give him his own show? It's like, okay, we're going to give him his own show.
And they can't make Superman work on the big screen, but they can do it on the small screen. I got an idea. Hey, I know you're running all of our TV shows now, Greg. And I know you're going to make a Green Lantern show now and an Tales of Suspense? No,
yeah.
Strange Adventures.
Something like that.
Yeah. So do you have time to save Superman on the big screen and see what happens?
It's funny.
How do you not?
People looking for they got their own Kevin Feige right there, and he's just busy doing TV stuff, making his nine figures. Cause I think he just signed $300-400 million
a
deal. So it's like he's just right there. They fumbling around with their movies, and that just seemed ass backwards. And it's like, you can't say, well, we don't have time, because Feige does everything now.
Yeah. He literally does everything for him.
Yeah. So if he has time, and you've seen what Berlanti's doing, and it's like, you know, between the comic stuff and the Archie stuff, it's like, yeah, just cut him whatever, give him what he wants. Because he actually, and we've talked about it a zillion times, they enjoy what they do. And you could tell that they enjoy, like, they wouldn't cast the people they wouldn't cast into the story. They wouldn't tell if they didn't like it. And you know how I know they like what they're doing? They do what they do for the most part. Because Brandon Roth seems very mad that he has to leave.
That doesn't seem like that was his choice, huh?
It was not. No, no, it was not. Because most of the time it's like, well, you know, maybe he doesn't want to be in Vancouver or anything like that. Everything I've seen from his posts and interviews and stuff I've read is like, it wasn't like he was asking to leave. It was like, he seemed rather upset. He tried to be diplomatic about it, but it was like, yeah, this is going to be real hard and bittersweet and a goodbye and stuff. And I guess that's how stuff worked.
Well, I guess it sounds like they're replacing him with the newer version, Ryan Choi, because he shows up in Crisis. So I'm guessing that's why. But
yeah, I'll be feeling the way too. I'm like,
well, Legends is going away after this season anyways, so I don't know.
Is it? I know they talked about it, but I'm like,
yeah, I thought that one was definitely, this was the last season.
But it's funny, like, if it was, why would he be so mad?
That's what I'm getting at. Well, because he's only in the first episode, I think. He's not in the whole season. Mm. So he doesn't even get a chance to ride out, like, the series he started.
Yeah, basically. So I'm going out with a bang being Superman, like how it started. Cool. Yeah.
If there's a nice way to put a bow on top of it, I mean, you've gone the gamut. So.
Okay, I have one more question. Are we ever going to get a Batman show?
No.
We should.
It's only going to be animated. They insist on making only Batman movies, where...
I mean, they've done Batman adjacent. We had Gotham, where we had everything but basically Batman until the last episode. We got almost all the Batman villains, like all the minor ones for the most part. We got Batwoman. They're talking about Gotham. We know Batman exists. Even if you're not going to do a CW, you got, you know, HBO Max.
Which would be the perfect place for it.
Yeah, like, you can make a Batman money with whatever budget you want on HBO Max and make all the damn money. So, and it can exist in the same universe as a movie. Because we had two different Jokers, but I guess it's funny, like, they might not ever make a sequel to this one, and Jared Leto ain't going to be Joker anymore in that one. So we went from having two Jokers to no Jokers. So, but I don't get the whole, like, why are they so adamant about no Batman?
I think the old school way of thinking is no one wants a Batman show where he's walking around as Bruce Wayne the majority of the time. Because even Titans gets on my nerves after a while, where they're running out to investigate something, but they're doing it in street clothes. And it's like, everyone knows you exist. Everyone knows what's going on. Like, the beginning of this season, which I know was supposed to be the end of last season, but, like, Jason is there with no mask on yelling, Titan. No, he wasn't Robin gear. But they showed the other people, and they're, like, without the gear on. And I'm going, I know it's not comfortable for the actors in that, but at least this Deathstroke, he don't give a shit. That helmet is on all the time when he's fighting.
Mm-hmm. So I like this. This Deathstroke has grown on me.
Yeah, pretty good.
Like, at first I was like, yeah. It was like, either one, I didn't know. It was like, two, not even talking about Joe Manganiello.
Yeah.
Joe, right. Last name. Manganiello.
Yeah.
I just love Manu Ben on Arrow so much. And it was just, and then it's kind of like Isai Morales looks a little bit like him, just kind of like a Latin version. And then it's like they played, and then he's not just a monster. It's like, yeah, he got a reason to be pissed at the Titans, mm-hmm. like real good reason. And it's kind of like, yeah, why? It's one of those, like, I know we rooting for the Titans because they supposed to be the good guys, but we making that speech like they pretend to be heroes wearing a mask and all that shit. They a bunch of hypocrites using kids and all that. Like, what type of nonsense is going on? It's like, You know, he ain't lying.
Yeah, well, there's that, but then you also got to remember, he's the one that murdered one of their friends for no reason.
And then, it was an accident.
Yeah, exactly. And I was like, that's a little convenient.
It was like, I was trying to get somebody else who ended up getting the next episode anyway, and it was like, all this started over a damn accident.
Yeah,
and
that was kind of weird to me. Like, it took this long for him to get back to it. So, yeah, it's all right, though. I mean,
Wait, is this okay? What's happening in the present? What's happening in the past? Did he kill the girl again in the past?
Oh, no, you're right. No, he
killed in the past. Because he did it right before they had the fight with Jericho, and after he beat the brakes off of Donna. Ooh, yeah. Cam told me about that. It was harsh. I was like,
she's not Wonder Woman, so.
Yeah, and basically it's like, you know what? This is a warning. Stay away from my damn son. Yeah. I was like, imagine if he wasn't playing around.
Yeah, that's true. I guess that could be the mercy shown, where he meant to kill the other person.
And you know what's funny about this? He just beating up all of them.
That's what's supposed to happen. So,
like, every time they have a fight, he just beating the brakes off of all of them. Powers, no powers, train, no train. That shit ain't making no difference.
Well, he was surprised by Starfire, so that was kind of nice. And then I'm guessing when Connor gets healed, that's going to surprise him too. So,
I'm going to watch this episode. I'm going to try to watch this one. I still haven't watched Dolomite yet.
That was very good.
That's what I heard.
Here's the problem. It's kind of what I had from the preview. He just doesn't sound like Rudy Ray Moore. I mean, he's not even trying to sound like him, so I guess that's better than coming off terrible. And then there wasn't a lot of setback. And what I mean is, I can't imagine he was... When you see it, you'll understand. But he's like, I'm going to do this, and it works. I'm going to do this, and it works. I'm going to do this, and it works. I'm going to do this. It works out finally. Like, yeah, it's the situations. Wesley Snipes is awesome in this. And it just shows you, like, you know, maybe the Blade stuff and him getting all hopped up and whatever he was doing kind of derailed him. That dude's great in this. And I really enjoyed it. And it made me want to go back again and start watching these old movies, because I loved them a long time ago. I just haven't seen them lately.
It's funny. He took a picture. It was him, Eddie Murphy, Will Smith, and Martin Lawrence. And I'm trying to figure out, where were they all at together to take that picture?
Maybe they were all at the Dolomite premiere?
Maybe, because I know Wesley's in Coming to America too.
Oh. Gemini Man, maybe?
Or maybe they stopped up on the set of Bad Boys.
That could be it. But no, Eddie's really good in it, because he's always been a good actor. He just takes terrible movies.
Yeah.
And some of the stuff, like, I've never really gotten into the history of, like, how these movies were made. If this stuff is true, it's quite remarkable. And
There's heavy lifting involved.
There's a line that he says in this movie, he says it a couple times, that I didn't understand was the crux and the foundation of the movies I like. And I'm not going to tell you what it is. We'll bring it up next week after you watch it. I think you'll figure out what line it is immediately as it happens. But he says it's just three simple things, and he goes, that ain't no movie. And I went, oh, now I kind of understand why I love watching movies, or like why back then that's why I loved watching them. So it's good, though. I was surprised it didn't come out in theaters, but I think this was probably a better way to do it, because that's probably the only way it could get made too. So, but on that note, I know we got other stuff to cover. I got to get running. I didn't realize what time it was.
Yeah, are you seeing Terminator this weekend?
Oh, that's this weekend?
Came out today?
I don't know.
We're seeing it Saturday. It's funny, from everything I've heard, the review's basically been like, it's the best one since 2. Not that it's great or anything, but it's better than like 3, Salvation of Genesis.
Okay.
So I saw a few people that say they liked it. So we'll see. It's rated R. So
that was very nice to see.
Yeah. I brought my Star Wars. It's funny. We can wrap up with this story. So I brought my Star Wars tickets.
Yep.
Like, it came out Monday. I waited till, like, Wednesday. Oof. And half the ticket, like, two-thirds tickets was already gone for the show I wanted to see. And I asked Darlene if she wanted to go. She's like, yeah, I don't know. It's kind of late, and it's almost 2 hours. I'm like, okay. So I brought my ticket, and then think about this. She was asking me, like, you know, it's the last one with, like, Ray in them, right? I was like, yeah. All right, give me one. So luckily, they had one that was right next to mine, so I brought that, too. Yeah, so they had purchased that one. Y'all like, your ass lucked out. Like, don't be doing that. Don't be doing that again.
Yeah, my theater, the IMAX one that I, whenever there's a huge movie like this, I go there. The 7 o'clock show was, I got the email, and it went, oh, shit, they're on sale? So I went, look, 7 o'clock, gone. I mean, already gone. So 9:30, we got decent seats. Or 9:45, we got decent seats, so... It breaks my rule about not wanting to go late because I generally tend to get tired and not enjoy them as much.
Yeah, that's what happened before. And yeah. You're going to have some shitty sound. You're like, eh. How was the movie, Jeremy? Yeah, it sucked.
Yeah, you're like, then you look at the time and go, that makes sense. So, No, this one is not, no. Not like Force Awakens. I'm never going to that theater again.
I still laugh at that show because I'm like, so, did I see the right movie? Because I'm like, it was awesome. You're like, I don't know, it's trash to me. And I'm like, it's the other way around. They was explaining, like, yeah, I went late and I could barely hear it. I'm like, oh, well, That makes sense.
Well, you know, another movie that's like that is Captain Marvel. That was the last one I went and saw late. And remember, I didn't enjoy that as much. And then I finally went, it's got to be the time of day I'm going. Because I'm up at 5 in the morning, and by the time the movie lets out, it's sometimes almost 1. And it's like, that's clearly affecting, like, your enjoyment of this stuff.
Yes.
So don't do it.
Yeah, like, the last late movie I saw was the second Ninja Turtles movie. I saw it, like, either, like, 10.
At least that was, like, bright and loud.
Yeah, and it was fun. It was just like, it's just weird seeing movies. Like, I don't like seeing movies alone, like 5 or 10 people in, like, action movies.
Yeah. Oh, no. That's why I like going.
So, I like seeing. So, I that ticket, and I haven't got Jumanji yet, but.
Oh, that's on sale yet?
I don't even know if it's on sale yet. I saw another trailer. I know it's like The Rock doing a Danny DeVito impersonation is getting to me because he's doing he's doing it very credibly. And it's kind of like, you never hear people say The Rock's a good actor.
No, you don't. Not at all.
And I'm like, he ain't DiCaprio, but he ain't no slouch neither. Because every time I'm seeing this movie, it's like, he's doing an impersonation of somebody else. You know he's doing an impersonation. It sounds like he's the way he's supposed to be doing it. And it sounds fine. And it could easily not sound fine. And it's just like, I know it's a whole idea, like, every movie is The Rock in the jungle. But like you know, if it ain't a Fast and Furious movie, it's like, it's The Rock in a jungle or The Rock running around on a building, because it's like, you see Jumanji, The Rundown, San Andreas, Scott's, so it's like, and then it doesn't help
Rampage,
Rampage, he's like, you see the previews for this, and then we saw the previews for Jungle Cruise, and I'm like,
oh yeah,
The Rock just likes the tropics.
Yeah, I mean, Hobbs and Shaw for that matter.
Yeah, so, but no, I'm definitely looking forward to seeing Jumanji, and then they showed another trailer, and I guess one of the kids became a horse.
Okay, is that what he was talking about?
Yeah, because remember, it was 4 kids, and then you only see, but then it's like, they only accounted for 2 of them.
Yeah, because one was
the granddad, and one was the granddad's friend.
And there's supposedly another, there's another character.
Yeah.
There's a hidden one, so I guess we'll see. But I need to run, so.
Yeah, so you go run.
Yeah, well, no, I mean, I have to go somewhere. I don't have to run. Not right now. So
I know what you mean.
Yeah, because that's... I tried running a little bit in the old back... when you got a welt the size of a trapper keeper for all the old people, or a portable record player, it was bad. So, so thanks for listening, everyone. We'll be back next week. No more of these two-week break things, unless I fall off something else and die, or whatever. Oh, I never answered your question. I don't know if we're going to see Dark Fate. I have to ask her. She's been on the fence left and right about it.
Okay.
She didn't want to see it at first. Then she wanted to see it. Then she's like, eh. And she's like, oh, that looks pretty. I'm like, okay. Whatever.
Was she hating on the Terminator because it's Mexican?
No, she was hating on it because she goes, another Terminator movie? I'm like, I mean, you're not wrong.
We had a lot of them. Yeah. So
and two of them have been good. So
yes.
All right, but anyways, thanks for listening, guys. iTunes, all that good stuff, and I'll let Shahid take us out.
For Jeremy Mays, I'm Shahid Abdulhadi, and you never get trained to fall off a 30-foot ladder. We are out.
Or yeah, it is 30-foot. All right, never mind. Later, guys.